Hello, everyone. This is the maintenance call. So what we're going to do today is we're going to coach a little bit on maintenance and talk about maintenance and just anything you guys like really want to ask questions on. So if you have a question, you will want to put that in the Q&A. We don't do these all the time. We do them sometimes. One of the things I'm working on is for 2022, a true maintenance program so that for all of you who are losing your weight, doing the things that you can read into it. You can use it before you get to maintenance to kind of calm your nerves. You can use it once you get to maintenance, but just talking about the concepts and stuff. So if you want to ask a question, you can use the Q&A. And if you want to get coached, you can just raise your hand. Betsy, I'll bring you up, but I don't think you have to be on stage today. We don't typically get, let's see, let me promote you to panelists just in case. All right. So if no one has any questions, let me change my view so that Betsy's not halfway on the screen. So guys, this is one of the things that I want to tell you for all of, there's 110 of you here. Y'all ask for these calls all the time. You're like, oh, let's talk about maintenance. Oh, I want to get coached on maintenance. We don't have enough maintenance information. Then when I have a call, zero questions, zero hands raised. So don't sit there and not raise your hand because you're nervous. All right, Lisa Hickey, you're going first. Y'all need to get on these things. Y'all wonder why we don't have the maintenance calls very often? Because Grin don't want to do a two-minute call and hang up. Thank you. All right, Lisa. You got to sit down.
I know what you're like, so I've got to put it on the spot.
I look at Corinne looking away from the screen. I get so car sick. It's ridiculous. All right. Tell me what we're coaching on.
Okay. My goal to reach was 29 pounds and I'm at 30.5 pounds.
Okay.
So I guess I'm in maintenance. I don't know if I have more to go. I kind of feel like it when I hold my stomach in my hands and there's still stuff there.
Do you know, like, this is so clever that you said this. This is one of the things that I wrote down that, so I started a thread in the Queen's Club the other day to just ask what you guys would love me to talk about in a maintenance program. And one of the things is, how do you know if you're in maintenance? It's called a decision. I promise you, there's no maintenance god that's going to fly down into your room and be like, do you know you're in maintenance now?
Okay. Well, awesome. So what I'm wondering then is, since I started losing weight with you, well, since March 1st, when I started losing weight, I have never gone up the scale. It's been continuously down or maintained. So okay. I'm wondering, I don't know that I'm scared, but I'm a little like, what's going to happen when the weight goes up a half a pound or a pound?
Well, you tell me what's going to happen. Number one, you'll have some thoughts.
Right. Because I know that you've talked about when you're at your goal weight or when you're in maintenance, your weight fluctuates like 5 pounds or whatever. Like, it's not a big fucking deal unless we make it a big deal. Like, maybe right. I had too much salt. Maybe I overate. Like, I don't know. So I guess I'm just trying to be a little bit preemptive.
So tell me everything that you've learned about the think, feel, do cycle. So this is what will happen. Everybody pay it. Y'all all can even write this down. Like if you have like a sheet of paper. So when we think about the think, feel, do cycle, hang on, let me get a marker. This will be better if it's, watch me not have a single marker in this whole room. All right. I actually have some markers. All right. So when we're talking about maintenance and let's just say you've decided you're at goal weight. Okay. And say your goal weight is, what is your goal weight?
We'll say 150.
All right, 150 pounds.
And I'm 3.5 pounds from that.
Okay. And then, but let's pretend that you're there, okay?
Okay.
And then let's say goal weight is 150 pounds. Something just went into my eye. I'm sorry. And then you weigh in and your weight is 150 pounds, maintain. And today, I'm 152 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yes.
then you're going to have thoughts about it, just like any other thing.
Yes.
So whether the scale goes up, the scale goes down, the scale maintains, you're at your goal weight, whatever it is. This is just a fact. It doesn't matter. Like when you say, like, I don't know what will happen. Of course you do. Your brain will have a sentence to say about it. That is what always happens before you get on the scale. That is always what happens no matter what. Then we have think, feel, do.
Yep.
So when you're in maintenance, this is what I noticed that happens with a lot of you. You guys use your thoughts to lose weight. You get to maintenance, and then all of a sudden you forget that thoughts are part of the picture. Like, it's maintenance. What's going on? Like, I have no choice in the matter. I don't know what I'm supposed to weigh. Like, this is all, how do I want to think about this? So it's anticipating. So for you, when you start dealing with a range, that's a new set of circumstances that your brain's not had thought yet on. So yeah, for a lot of you who are encroaching on maintenance or who may be in there, what will happen is your brain is likely to go all the way back to like the first day you started losing weight and say, like, okay, this is a new circumstance, but it's very similar to what we've always thought about ourselves when it comes to our weight. So let me go find all the old thinking. Your first thought will be, when you go up 2 pounds, will be just like the first day you started no BS. Oh, I don't know if I can do this.
Like, I don't know if it's going to work. Like,
like your brain is just going to automatically go to probably the exact same sounding thoughts it did at the very beginning of weight loss.
Okay.
So your job is to be okay with that and understand your brain is going to do what it always does. I'll go back to as close as an experience as I can possibly find. That's the thinking we'll use.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean it's good thinking. It doesn't mean it's helpful thinking. But there's, like, I hate to tell you guys, but there's really no way for me to give you a good way to bypass shitty thinking. If I could do that, oh my God, I'd be rich beyond my wildest dreams. Yeah. I would shut Oprah down in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So what I can do is tell you, it's like, start practicing now that when you get into your range to say, here's how I want to think about natural fluctuations.
Okay.
Here are the things I want to do. Like, so if I see if I see the scale go up, here's what I want to think about it. And here's what I want to do about it. So like for me in maintenance, one of the things that I do when I notice the scale goes up, sorry, like literally I've got something so bad in my eye. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
When my weight goes up, I always know that I'm going to have shitty thoughts first. I always tell myself, all you got to do is go look back at the last week and figure out what you need to do different. Like that's literally all. I don't have to go back to the past 6 months. I don't have to go back to nothing other than, was there something this past week that I need to pay more attention to this week? Is there, you know, did I end up going out to eat 3 times? I know that this week I need to keep it to the one. Like, was last week I going out to eat because it's vacation in life, which means that that's going to be super easy for me this week because I'm back to real life. Or was last week a week where I added in bonus going out to eat because I had a tough day? So that means that this week I need to make sure that I'm on top of my tough days, that I understand how to talk to myself through those, because now I'm going to take food as an option to cope away from myself and make myself actually cope with my brain this week.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that we can do. So it's just, but it's really understanding all of you. I think there was like 75 something replies. Every single thing was all a thought issue. Even the people were like, can you talk nutrition? Why would you now suddenly need me to talk to you about nutrition if you've been paying attention to your body all the time and you've been losing weight? That's not even a thought issue. I mean, that's not even a nutrition thing. Are you still paying attention to nutrition and maintenance as it pertains to the thinner body that you have now?
Okay. So what else? Sense. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'll just create some intentional thoughts around that. And I don't have a problem when the shitty thoughts come up because I know that they're going to. Mm-hmm. I can manage them. Yeah. I mean, I've got this far. There's no reason I can't keep going. Why would I change what I'm doing? It's worked.
Exactly. And those are the things to remind yourself. Okay. And then when it just comes to that whole idea of, is this the weight? If you want to lose 10 more pounds, you already know how to do that. You just lose 10 more pounds. This is one of the things that blew my mind when, I've been thinking about this, like in my own journey over the last few years. I have been much thinner. I've been heavier. Like every single weight was a decision, and every single weight I got to decide, did I want to stay there or not? Because I knew that I had the capacity. Like I told myself, I have the capacity to weigh what I want to weigh. Like, and all it takes is me working on my thoughts, planning my food, when I'm not eating what's on my plan, really understanding at a deep level what's going on for me. That's all it really takes. It's not complicated. And it's exactly what I teach you to lose weight is exactly what we do in maintenance. We listen to our thoughts, and the ones that feel gross, we examine them and then we change them.
Well, and an interesting thing too is I'm exactly the same weight I was when I met my husband 14 years ago, but it's different this time because my thoughts are different.
Exactly.
So this weight's not coming back on. So this whole maintenance thing, yeah, it's good. I will create some thoughts, and I just know that old shitty comes up, and it's fine. It's what the brain does. So thank you. That is perfect.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's see. Let me get her down. All right, Diane. Ooh. Y'all, I don't know what is in my eye, but it is large and in charge. All right, Diane, let's get your camera on. Hey, so what are we coaching on? Let's get you unmuted.
I unmuted. I am trying to, I'm trying to do this differently, like you have told us to do, basically, than any other plan I've ever done. And it's working. I've been working very hard on thoughts, and I'm trying right now. I'm about 10, 15 pounds from where I've been in the past at maintenance. And I am not real sure I care about losing the rest of it. I feel pretty good and happy where I am, and am also okay if my body decides to lose a little bit more. That's kind of how I'm working it. And what my big thing is to try to incorporate maintenance thoughts now. And you coached me on Clubhouse back a while ago and said, write down your new thought, which is, I'm beginning to believe this is permanent. And then ask yourself why and answer that every day. And I've been doing that for a couple of months. I love that suggestion. And I've been visualizing me in maintenance every day since.
Okay.
So my question is, those were so powerful, and I want more. I want more specific ideas on how to not have goal weight as my goal. But my goal...
What do you want your goal to be?
I know exactly. My big why is to have yo-yo dieting, chaos, and heartbreak in my past, and to live a happy, stable, in maintenance life.
Okay. Let's cut out the first half of it, because it sounds like it might, it just sounds like it could get your brain too focused on noticing when you're chaotic and when you're those things.
Okay.
So what is it? So tell me, like, again, what you do want for yourself. Like, so when you're thinking about maintenance, what do you like, or you said your goal, right? What is your goal other than all the chaos?
Okay. What do I want to replace that with? I want to replace that with serenity, energy, and stable body size.
Okay. So are you, and you have decided this is the stable body size you want, at least for now?
For right now, also because I've had a year of very big medical issues and my doctor suggested that I put my body in homeostasis for a while.
Yeah.
So keep it stable, quit losing all my hair, quit losing weight. I've lost 55 pounds and just be stable for a while and let my body rest. And if my body decides to lose a half a pound here and there, awesome. And that's where my head is. That I'm going to trust my body to do that.
Okay. Well, I think that that's an amazing goal. And one of the things I was going to suggest for some of you, when you get to a certain point in your weight loss, and let me just tell you kind of how I think about all this and how I feel, and we're going to be touching on this at Transformation Weekend at camp, is for a lot of us, we just don't even know where a lot of our body conditioning, our diet mentality, a lot of that, where it really started, and how it also creeps in is that sometimes we don't even know why we want to weigh what we want to weigh.
Right.
Like we know that it, we feel like it's what we should do. Like we feel like we need to, these other things, but we've never even taken an opportunity to look at why that number and that look means something to us. And without that, without understanding the basis of it from our past, where these ideas get planted in us from society and magazines and all kinds of stuff, sometimes what we're doing is we're killing ourselves for something that we don't actually want. We're killing ourselves to go after something that we think we should do.
Yeah.
So this is important. This means that sometimes what happens is I watch a lot of you want to, like you'll say you want to lose 10 more pounds. And one of the questions I always ask is, if you lost 10 more pounds, what would be different in your life? So what would you allow yourself now to feel about yourself? What do you think would be different? And a lot of times the answers to those questions are going to tell you whether or not you actually need to lose 10 pounds, or if you're beating yourself against the, beating your head against the wall, you're kind of already experiencing it now. You just don't allow yourself to embrace it because you think you shouldn't experience that until you lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, I got over that. I'm experiencing it. I'm so grateful. So grateful. Yeah.
So I, for a lot of you, I think there's nothing wrong with taking a break on weight loss when you get to a point to where you're like, I'm feeling really good. I want to enjoy this. I'm going to maintain for a little bit. And then I'm going to reevaluate. I'm going to let myself fully enjoy where I am now. Now, y'all, when I say that, that doesn't mean you run out to Ruby Tuesday and get you a blondie and be like, I'm living my maintenance life. That's called going back to reward eating, which is very different. Yeah. I'm talking about each and every day allowing yourself to no longer think, I need to lose 10 more pounds. These are the, like, being in the hurry and the goal setting, and just say, I am going to practice every single day loving this weight, appreciating myself, telling myself I'm proud, locking in my habits, establishing a relationship with them of, this is who I am. This is not habits I do to lose weight anymore. This is who I am stuff. And so when you get that built, most of the time, if you want to lose any more weight, you'll do it because you truly want to and you believe in yourself. Yeah. You're like, I bet I could. And I would, you know, like if I'm down one more size, you know, I'd be able to wear some pants I've always dreamed of. That's very different than someone who's constantly trying to lose 10 pounds thinking, well, that's what I weighed in high school. And I just remember being happy there and I'm not happy here. And I'm still picking my body apart. So 10 more pounds won't make you pick your body apart any less.
No.
It'll just highlight more areas to pick.
Yeah.
So it's like learning those things.
Okay. Keep working on that.
Yeah. I think like for you, like what, like answering the question each day of how can I make maintenance easy and a part of my lifestyle now?
Yeah. Cause I'm in the past couple of months before I started working like that, I realized how terrified I am at this point. You know, how many times I've done diets and then gained back 80 or 50 or whatever, 4 or 5 times I've done that. So that I got in this place of being terrified of maintenance. And I hope I've worked through some of that because I realize I have a support. I have new thoughts. I have new people. Hi, Lori, accountability partner, if you're there. And just feeling like so much is new and I've let go of so many really loathsome thoughts about myself.
Right.
That I'm not the same person and I don't have to go there. But the fear of maintenance sometimes really sneaks in.
So this is what I want you all to see. So again, maintenance is just, it's just a fact of your life now. So for all of you, and this applies, like literally if you're listening to this call and you've got 20 pounds left to lose, whatever it is, that is just a fact. But when you guys start telling me fear, I have fear about maintenance. Maintenance is not causing your fear. So this is one of the things that I noticed a lot of people doing inside of the Queen's Club thread that we did is that a lot of people were attributing all of a sudden maintenance is scary. That is a thought about maintenance. Somebody's going to think, I've got this on lock because I can spot emotional eating now. I'm going to tell all of you one thought that you like, you really can hang on to that helps me. I know I'll never regain my weight because I am so good now at noticing the difference between when I'm eating and really experiencing and enjoying my life and when I'm emotionally eating.
Uh-huh.
I did not used to know that. And I would lose weight hanging on to emotional eating. So I would deprive myself, have like one big blowout meal, eat, feel relief, and then go back to being hard on myself. Like I did that for several diets. So that meant that when I no longer was getting the payoff of the scale going down, I was just all in terror all the time. I had no payoffs because I never gave myself payoffs and telling myself, you know, here are the reasons why this time it's so much easier. And here are the things I love about losing weight. And these are the things I love that I'm going to like put into my maintenance life. So making sure that when you guys, when you think maintenance is scary, like you can even put my body at goal weight. If your feeling is shit, or whatever it is, that's not your body causing that. That is the thinking applied to the body. So working on those thoughts all the time, literally, I know, like I wrote in my notes today for maintenance, teach that thoughts change. That's it. That's all that happens when you hit maintenance or you hit the last 20 pounds or you hit your last 10 pounds. When suddenly things feel harder, suddenly things are scary, suddenly things are fearful, that's because your thinking has changed about it. That is not because of the situation or the circumstance.
Okay.
Which means you write about what am I thinking about my weight? What am I thinking? And for a lot of you who are entering maintenance, getting close to maintenance, now's the time to start journaling on what are my current thoughts about maintenance?
Okay. Because your
current thoughts are, it's hard. I won't know what to do if the scale goes up. I'll probably regain some weight. I'll never get to eat the way I want. If those are your thoughts, each one of them, we've got to like really dig into them.
Okay.
Is it true that you never get to eat the food you want?
No.
Exactly. But that's what we do. Like, we let our brain hang on to these thoughts. They create very shitty emotional states. And then we get scared. The closer you get to maintenance, if those are the kind of thoughts you have, guess what? The closer you get to maintenance, the more nervous you get. You start noticing you're going from, I'm losing weight and I'm feeling momentum. I'm so excited. And like, you know, like, woo, Manobius world's good. And then you get to a certain point where you're like, you're 20 pounds out. And all of a sudden your mind is starting thinking, you know, well, I mean, we're having a good time now and you've done such a good job, but we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, you've never been able to keep your weight off before. Your brain just starts having all these thoughts about maintenance.
Yep.
So it would make sense for a lot of you that as you get closer, if your story about it is bullshit, you will start stalling yourself to avoid getting to that point where you can stay. I watched this happen too. I watched some of you stay in that 10 to 15 pounds out range because your story about weighing 10 to 15 pounds less and your story about maintenance is so bad that you keep 10 to extra 15 pounds. I was like, well, I'm kind of happy here. Like, I get to do the things I want to do. It's like,
I wonder.
You can be happy there too and do the things you want to do there too. Don't make your decision based on that.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's so important to start looking at maintenance well before and make it more of a goal than my goal weight.
Yeah.
It feels like it's taking away some of the fear.
Yeah. I think for you with what your doctor told you to stabilize your body, I think now's a great time for you to practice.
Practice maintenance is what I call it.
Yeah, for sure. And then like for you, what I would do is I would start thinking like, well, you already kind of did it. Like we said, like, well, why would you either want to keep going or, you know, what is it that you really want for your maintenance? Identify those kinds of feelings you want. We are doing this at camp. So the last day, what we'll do at camp is everybody's going to identify what they think their future self is living at. So like for you, it would be like, you know, my maintenance self.
Yeah.
All of those feelings and stuff. And then we're going to do a big workshop on, all right, so what does that look like today? So I always say, you know, you got to start thinking like future self. You got to start like accessing her wisdom. But how does that show up today? So tell me one of the things that you said you wanted to feel.
Stable body size, no yo-yo dieting. I want to feel stable.
You want to feel stable.
Yes.
So that means that in your day-to-day life, you would want to create the feeling of stability. So how can I create the feeling of stability today? For me, it's always having a 24-hour plan.
Yes.
You know, when I make my 24-hour plan, I know that my meals are stable for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I know that the only thing that I'm going to be having to negotiate the rest of the day is if I don't want to follow that. But I don't have to go into it. Number one, like, you know, I got to find something to eat. I got to make a good choice. I got to do all this stuff. And then I got to want to make that choice.
Right.
Like, I want all the decisions made ahead of time. So we start like pulling apart for each and every day, where are the places that you don't feel stable? And how do we start creating that with your thinking?
Okay.
Because you can do that now. That does not come if you continue to lose weight.
Right.
And you might end up losing more weight. You may not, but for sure, you would get to experience the benefits of what you think a smaller version of you may or may not experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Really made sense about the fear and carrying this little extra weight, maybe because it keeps me from getting to that future desired weight because it feels safer here, like my heels are digging in and I'm so scared to get there because my history is so full of failure.
Right. And it's brilliant. I watch a lot of you do this. You're so afraid you're going to regain your weight that you don't finish your journey.
Yeah.
You're like, I get to a point to where I'm feeling really good about myself. Mm-hmm. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves to keep going, but we also don't have to make the end result so scary.
Right.
You know, we get to tell ourselves these new stories. So I will just say there's a lot of people in here. I've just seen a few comments of people saying, oh my gosh, this is me. I've been sitting around dicking with the same 10 to 15 pounds for months now. Mm. I'm going to tell all of you. It has everything to do with you. What you keep telling yourself is required of you to lose that last 10 to 15 pounds. The story you have about it is the only thing blocking people. When that story gets where it feels doable, not as bad, like fun, anything like that, you want to move toward it. But right now, if you have it painted as a nightmare about once I hit my goal, I'll probably regain. Why would you ever hit your goal? Why not say 10 to 15 pounds out and pretend that you're working on it all the time so that you don't have to suffer the whole regain?
Wow. Well, the funny thing is, since I've taken the focus off weight loss and tried to focus on having fun in my life, I've lost a couple of pounds in the last few months, just not focusing on it so much.
Yeah. Well, and really shouldn't have to be focused on that much. This is what I tell all of you. I think a lot of you think it takes a lot of time to lose weight. It's like it takes less time to lose weight than it does to sit around and hope and dream and spin out and like, ooh, my app updated. Corinne's got another podcast. I shouldn't listen to that one. Like y'all don't realize how much time and energy you spend avoiding your weight loss, trying to skirt it and not do things. And then in your idle time, you're just like, I don't know why. Like, I always feel so shitty about myself. I'm so sick and tired of eating Oreos every night, but then I'm not doing anything about it. Like, you're spending so much energy and effort on weight loss without doing anything for weight loss. Hmm. I would just much rather y'all make a fucking plan every day and then tell yourself, I don't think about food until it's time to eat. So if your brain wants to think about food, you're just like, it's a no. You know what we're going to think about? Enjoying our life. And if I don't enjoy my life, guess what I'm going to think about? Why don't I enjoy my life and answer those questions and figure out how to build joy into life rather than I should probably go eat something. I should probably stand in my pantry for 10 minutes eating chips until I decide on what I'm actually going to eat, as if that's not a waste of time.
Right.
I'm telling you, keeping your weight around is the biggest waste of time of all. Most of you who, if you ever looked at how much mental energy you spend on self-loathing, wondering what somebody else is eating, like all the things that we spend time on, sitting on the couch and then feeling bad for ourselves after we've ate and stuff, that takes way more time out of your life than anything else does. So, okay. You feel good?
I do. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. All right. I'm going to answer a couple of questions real quick. Coach Betsy has left me. What's the best way to get ready for maintenance? I'm a few pounds away. When I get close, I start to ignore my practice. So the first thing is to start working on, you already know that one of the things that you do is ignore the basics that got you here. Okay. Very often that does come from fear of not being able to keep your weight off. So for a lot of you, when you notice that pattern, I've already given you one thing that you can do, which is you're going to like create the story that you have. So we'll be doing that at camp too. So a lot of you who are in maintenance and stuff, camp is going to be a really great stepping stone. I know a lot of you are wondering what's next after weight loss. Camp is the transformation weekend where we're talking about all the things that not only stop us from losing weight, but it's sometimes those things you don't resolve. And we're going to be doing so much work on setting yourself up for your future, like identifying those new goals. I wouldn't miss out on that. So creating the story that you have now, what is the story that you do currently tell about maintenance? that you do currently tell yourself, it's probably fear-based. I'm not, or confusion. Like, I'm not sure I'll be able to keep it off. I've never been able to keep it off before. And when you have thoughts like that, that I will tell you feel very true. But just because something doesn't feel true doesn't mean it's true. It means that at some point in the past, you regained weight, losing weight, unlike this time. So we already know you can't predict because this is a whole different way of losing weight. So you can't really pull from what you've done in the past as any kind of evidence for how you'll show up this time. Because here's the things that are different about this time. And that's the problem a lot of you are running into when it comes to maintenance or when it comes to keeping your weight off or the last few pounds. Here are the reasons why this time's different. So whenever your brain wants to go to the past, your job is to counter argue with it and say, on paper, with your paper thinking, here's the reasons why it's different this time. Here's what's drastically different. Here's how I show up differently. I feel different this time. This is why we can believe that this time is going to be different and that I will keep the weight off. It's a lot of writing. Cost of admission to maintenance land. Don't sit there and tell me you want to be in maintenance, but you're not willing to do some journaling and some thinking on paper to get your brain oriented around staying there. We all have to pay the price of admission, and you need to learn, like for all of you going into maintenance, it's learning to stop doubting and start believing. And that means that for every doubtful thought that comes up, you owe it to yourself to write about why you get to believe until your brain calms down because it's heard the story enough times that it allows itself to start believing it. It allows itself to start finding that evidence in your actual life. So like, let's say you leave two bites behind on your plate. Someone who doubts they can lose their weight will leave two bites behind and think, I don't think that's going to be enough to keep my weight off. It's probably not good enough. I'm just waiting for the day that I start regaining my weight. That will be their thought. The person who's believing we'll see the same two bites and we'll say, this is one of the reasons why I'm going to be able to keep my weight off. I don't carry my plate anymore. That's the difference. Same things, but somebody coming at the same things with a whole different mindset. So when you start noticing yourself ignoring the basics, what typically happens, there's a thought driving some fear. There's a thought driving some confusion. There's a thought driving, like once you hit that maintenance, something in your habit brain, in your self-sabotage, unconscious stories is there. You owe it to yourself to go dig for that gold. There is a golden thought that once you find it, you can bring it out of the cave. You can take a look at it, and rather than letting it just sit down there and do nothing for you, you can manipulate it, make a necklace out of it, make it beautiful, and change this to following your basics. Because what happens is that if your basics, like if, I want y'all to think about this as you go through your day. If you're in maintenance or you're almost in maintenance and you're terrified you can't keep your weight off, or you constantly doubt yourself that you're going to be able to do this. I've never been able to do it before. Like you're very apprehensive. Every single time you do something that reminds you of losing weight and maintenance, it taps on that insecurity. The brain's natural reaction is not to say like, I'm curious why my natural insecurities are being tapped. Let me go and get out in the journal. Let me unearth these little nuggets of gold. Let me figure them out, make them into fine jewelry and change my story. Let me change my thinking. This is what we do. My insecurities are getting tapped. I should quit doing shit that taps my insecurities. So you quit planning. You quit leaving food behind. You quit eating foods that you know give you energy. You start eating more feel-good foods, all to get away from your insecurities. You never rewire your insecurities. You just go about proving them true because now you're ignoring them. And you're trying to remove things that could tap on them. If you want to remove something that's causing you insecurity, let's work on extracting the thoughts out of your brain cave. And the reason why I call them gold, like we call them old shitties and stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, the more you unearth those golden thoughts, that when they're left in the cave trip you up, when you bring them out, you get to mold them into anything you want. Anything. It's almost like diamonds. Diamonds are a fucking lump of coal when left in the damn cave. But when you bring them out and you crush them and you work with them, they're pretty fucking expensive and they're like sell and they're beautiful and you want them. All of your thoughts are that way. So just don't discount that part. I recognize that I was heavy because of overeating. As I move into maintenance, will I always be an overeater or will there be a time that I'm a normal eater? I think everyone, Barb, can be a normal eater. I think that you just need to be working on telling yourself, here's why I'm a normal eater now. Here's how I know I'm turning into a normal eater. Start looking for all the evidence. Anytime that you leave food behind, anytime that you serve yourself less, anytime that you decide not to eat because you're actually not hungry yet, anytime that you could eat before you go to bed, maybe you're slightly hungry, but you're like, yeah, I'm just going to bed, so I'll be okay. That's when you remind yourself, This is what normal eaters do. Look at me. I'm turning into a normal eater. What most of us do is we sit around and think like, well, I've always been an overeater. Like, I just hope I can keep doing this. Don't do that to yourself. Start spotlighting when it's happening. Do you recommend workshopping a new list of whys for maintenance? Sure. I think you could do whys. Y'all could do a big why download every single week of your journey and your life, and it would be beneficial. Tapping into why things are important to you as often as possible helps you in every area of life. It just puts you into a mindset of what's important to you. I think also just like redoing your whys a lot is one of the things that helps you also notice when you are people-pleasing. When you are doing things because of what other people are thinking. Like if you really understand your whys, then, and so when you understand purpose, you understand your whys, what will happen is when you're doing things that don't support your whys, there is at least a rub and some friction of a moment where you question, why are we doing this? This gets in the way of the things that are most important to us. And then even if you aren't brave enough to tell people no yet, it at least gives you pause to start understanding where your next level work is in order for you to be focused on designing your life to support all the things that are most important to you. Many of my weight loss whys are realized now. So the compelling feelings I got from those whys is eluding me. Yeah. So now you just come up with new ones, Laura. That's it. Like, why is it important to get all the way to maintenance? Why is it important to stay there? What will that be able to afford you? I think you can do that all the time. All right, Liz, let's call on you. I think it's bringing you up. There we go.
Unmute and start video. Hello.
Okay. Hey, so what are we coaching on?
Okay, I wanted to check in on my thinking and bullshit with you. So I've been maintaining really well for the past year. It is above my desired maintenance range, but I've been doing it like a boss.
Okay.
I'm going on vacation and having a, you know, writing a plan. I'm like some 930 plans in from the beginning.
Look at you.
So my thinking is that, so I was like within the past year, it's been between 160 and as the high in January down to 147. Ideally, I want to be in the 140 range. So okay. I'm looking at it like a thermostat range where like if I can just shift my maintenance range, like right now I'm in like the 153, so, you know, between, you know, 150, 154, that kind of range. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at it like as time passes, if I can shift my maintenance range down a degree or two, pound or two, that it's like gliding to a landing rather than like drop.
Why not just say I'm going to lose 10 pounds? I'm just going to say the way that you're describing, it sounds like you're trying to protect yourself from being scared or doubtful. Like you're, it's almost like I'm trying to come up with a way to like sneak up on this so I don't really have to set that goal. And maybe not, but you tell me.
Yes, I do sneak up on my brain sometimes because otherwise it sometimes goes and freaks out with the, oh no, it's too hard. And I just did a whole big journaling thing about all the things that are too hard and why they're not too hard.
Okay. So I would like, I'll just give you my opinion, as a coach and as a person, I would much rather see you do that work than to try to do this. Like, let me just shift and let me just do all this. It sounds like it's going to be not offering you the opportunity to stretch your brain and grow your belief in yourself as much as the other. Because even when you said, well, let me just, why is it hard? And I went through all of those and I proved to myself why those aren't hard. I'd much rather see you working on that, like being scared, mm-hmm. and proving to yourself you don't need to be scared, and proving to yourself it may be more doable than you think it is and all this other stuff, than to try to be like, well, I'm like, for these few weeks, I'm only going to be like this much. I'm going to figure out how to, because the steps, like whether you do it that way or the other way, the steps to get, like, let's say you want to be 140 pounds. I'm just throwing out a number. The steps to get there are exactly the same.
Right.
But your thinking is what's going to be different. That's it. But like, you know, if you're going to like leave an Oreo behind, it's going to be the same, like same Oreo has got to go like left un-ate for 149 as 140. It's just the way you're framing it.
Oh, they can keep all the Oreos. I deserve better than Oreos.
I don't know. My mother, we went to the store the other day. She made sure to stop in the Oreo aisle to show me her favorite golden Oreos. And she was like, and I don't like them out of the bag. I like them left out for a day so they're soft and mushy. I was like, Mama, you've really thought about these Oreos. She's like, well, if I'm going to eat them, that's the way I'm eating them.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be throwing my mother's Oreos under the bus. But like, that's what I'm thinking about for you is, you know, losing 10 pounds is no different than like, basically, if your goal is eventually to get to 140 to 145, I'm not sure what you want your range to be. What do you want your range to be?
I don't really know. That's the, you know, 140 was like, the last time that I was really skinny, like, you know, 15 years ago,
yeah.
That's what I got to. Okay. But it's not like a magic number where I will suddenly be happier and any healthier than I am now.
Right.
You know, my life is fantastic. So
what do you want your range to be then? Like, just call your shot on this call.
I would love to wear size 6 jeans.
Okay.
All right. whatever weight that is.
Why don't you make the goal then a size 6 versus a number on the scale? And then figure out what's required to get to the 6. Is that actually like, and ask yourself, is it true that that's required? Mm-hmm. And if you think like, yeah, these are some of the things I know I will need to do, then ask yourself, then what are my thoughts about doing those things? Those will be the things I'll need to overcome in order to get them done. So I'm either going to have thoughts that support getting that done. Like, I'm willing to you know, no longer have my evening snack. Like for some people, like it's stuff like that. I'm just giving out examples.
Right.
I'm willing to adjust my enough again and let my brain go through the drama it does every time I adjust enough, which is like, oh my God, you eat so little. And what if you're hungry in 2 hours? Like it's the same old story. Like every time we adjust our enough, our brain like reacts the exact same way as if we've never done it before in the past. So it's like, those will be the things I'm willing to go through. And those are the things that will be these thoughts will be the challenge, and I'm willing to listen to them, and I'm willing to do it anyway and tell myself another story until my brain relaxes into, this isn't as bad as I thought. You know, I am thinner. I noticed I didn't lose my energy, those kinds of things. So like size six. What you think is required to get there, why it's important to you, like looking at all the reasons why, try to figure out the things that it's important to you about a size six. How can I start experiencing that now on my way to being a size six? It's like, you may not like, what do you envision size six jeans person? Like, what is so great about her?
I just remember like feeling like I looked great in all of my clothes. I felt really sexy and fabulous.
Okay. So that's good to know. So what it means is that, so if you envision by the time you get to a size six, that you're going to feel sexy and fabulous in your clothes and feeling like you look great all the time, that means that this size, Liz, which is probably like an eight or whatever size you are, needs to look in the mirror and remind herself when she's thinking she doesn't look good, she has to say like, no, I do look good. I can also want to wear a size six, but that doesn't mean that this is bad. Mm-hmm. There's good in this too, because you want that brain when it gets to a size six to really love it and land there. Otherwise you set yourself up to feel sexy and like you look good for a minute, for a little bit, and then you're going to sit there and go like, well, you know, some days I look sexy, but today's yoga pant day. Sometimes, you know, like you might even be there and be like, well, I just hope I can hang on, because I wouldn't want to lose feeling sexy. Because if you attribute it to the size six and not how you think, you'll think one day you'll put your pants on, they may be a little bit tighter, and you'll go haywire in your head rather than believing that you still look good. And if my pants are a little tight, I'll drink some more water. I'll ratchet back a little bit on my enough for a couple of days and everything will be fine. So you have to prepare for that person now at the size you are.
Yeah. Every morning before I get on the scale, I look in the mirror and tell myself, like, look at how fabulous you look today. Look at how gorgeous you are today. Every morning.
Good. And that's the things that just keep doing. Just don't take your foot off the gas on that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Let's do one more question. I lost my weight on a bullshit diet and I'm a newbie now. I want to feel good about myself at the weight I am and stop criticizing myself. Any examples of positive affirmations I can tell myself instead of criticizing? Okay. So this is a great question. And this is helpful for even those who are getting in maintenance, because a lot of you, what you do is, no matter how much I try to warn you, you do a lot of good work around like, oh, I love the basics. And like, I think so much better about my children and stuff, but you don't necessarily change how you think about you a lot. You're allowing yourself with the weight loss and stuff to be like, oh, because I lost weight, I get to feel proud of myself today. And because of this change, now I get to. No. We're not going to let the circumstances and facts of our lives be the things that we're waiting on. Like, basically, we're not going to wait on things to work out before we believe in ourselves and before we're nice to ourselves. Okay. So whether you're in maintenance or you're just starting, this is going to be helpful. Number one, if you want to feel good about yourself at the size you are now, and you are starting out as someone, let's say, you have a good amount of weight to lose, you're the heaviest you've ever been in your life, or You've never weighed this much, whatever it is. The first step is probably not going to land hard if the first step is tell yourself amazing, awesome things about yourself. I think it's good. I want you all to understand this one principle. You get to think anything you want about yourself the moment you decide you're worthy enough to think about it. The moment that you know that if you want to think you're beautiful and that you're worthy and that you've got an amazing heart and a place in this world and you get to whatever it is, you get to decide that. There's nothing outside of you that defines it. What most of us do is we let outside factors define how we are going to think about ourselves. This is one of the reasons why all of day one of camp is about unwinding our diet history, our body trauma, all the things that we have been told by society errantly. Because for a lot of you, you desperately want to believe amazing things about yourself. You desperately want to love your body. You desperately want to feel good about yourself, but you can't get there yet. And a lot of it is just conditioning. So what I advise a lot of you to do is when you are in criticizing mode, when your brain likes to offer a lot of terrible thoughts, and I will be honest, as hard as I work on this and as much as I will tell you, I honestly have turned the tide when it comes to, I do think I'm pretty. And I love my body in ways that I didn't know that I would actually ever be able to do because I have made myself focus so much on why this body is so good. But my brain still throws up criticism. I can't tell you how many times on a call as I'm just a preaching and a talking to you, do you know what runs in the background of my head? I notice little things like this on my arm now as I get older. It's like, I love myself and stuff, but my brain still it will just catch things because our brains work so fast. So I want you guys to understand the criticizing part. Nothing's going wrong there. It's just the way your brain is kind of conditioned and wired to work. So for a lot of us who are in hypercritical mode, believing on the all the way the other side of like sexy beast and I'm all the things could be a huge stretch. So you want to start with, if the future version of you loves her body, it will never be because she lost weight. The future version of you will love her body because she will wake up each day and decide to love it. There are plenty of thin people in the world that don't love their bodies. There are plenty of people that I coach on these calls who make it to maintenance who still don't love their body. So that number is never going to be what creates it. And I know it's such a mind fuck for us because we've always been taught to believe that's where our worth comes from. But it's not. If you want to feel good about yourself and you want to feel proud about yourself and you want to feel amazing, that's going to come because you've taught yourself how to think in those ways in order to experience those feelings. So whatever you think you're going to be like at the end, we have to figure out. So what is step one? 250 pounds, 350 pounds. At 175 pounds, whatever weight you are now, where you're starting. And for some of you, step one is to just really understand how often you have negative thinking about your body. A lot of people that come to know BS, they know they don't feel good. They know they want to lose weight. They think they'll be happier, but they really don't know the extent at which they're not being nice to themselves until we pay attention to our thinking. And then when you do that part, the next step to become the kind of person who loves their body, to be the kind of person in the future who accepts herself, who does those things, is when you catch the beatdowns now, you simply stop them. You may not be able to believe that you're gorgeous or that you're whatever it may be, but you can believe today that tearing your body apart isn't useful. It doesn't make me do any better today. In fact, the more I tear myself apart, the more likely I am to think that making my 24-hour plan won't matter. The more I tell myself what's wrong with me, the more I set myself up to, in the moment when I'm supposed to wait for hunger, the moment I'm supposed to stop it enough, the moment I'm supposed to make my plan, I'm going to think it won't matter. It's not good enough. It's going to take too long to lose all my weight. The self-deprecation sets it up for those excuses to be easily believed and rolled right through and ate through. So you want to make sure that in the early stages that you know how often you have an opportunity to either level up a thought or stop a thought because it's just no longer useful for you. And you're working on believing something new. And it can be as simple as that. For a lot of you, you don't even need to believe all kinds of great things yet. You just need to believe that you can one day think differently. You can one day, at least half the day, think better about yourself than you do today. That's powerful all in and of itself. And then we work on thinking better thoughts about ourselves. And then we go into unwinding certain things and disproving things true. Sometimes that first step is just that simple. It's not useful. I'll never, ever find a good reason to tear myself apart. If it's at the expense of your self-worth, it's never going to be worth it. All right. I think that's it. All right, guys, that's 2 o'clock. We've been here an hour. So that's maintenance. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you guys got a lot of good out of this. I do encourage all of you who are struggling with like seeing that future self and figuring out how today am I going to live like her? How am I going to put all this together? How am I going to start feeling better today? How am I going to start not being afraid to fail? How am I going to stop the people pleasing? How am I going to stop worrying about what everybody else thinks and turn the attention on what I think? I really encourage you to come to camp. Registration is open. We have about 100 or so seats left for the, I think it's like 150 seats left for the in-person. Virtual is wide open. I really encourage you to get signed up. Don't delay. And then, we're going to work on all these things because I really want, like, the whole theme is Transformation Weekend, becoming the hero of your own story. And that's what's missing for a lot of us. We don't know how to be our own hero. We just know how, I just know how to lose weight and do the things you tell me. But I don't know how to step into being the most powerful person that I can be for me. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.